evening. What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of The Amber May Show. I'm really excited about this interview because Nick Searcy is coming on the program today. So I hope you'll like, share, and subscribe. He is a filmmaker, and he just came out with the film War on Truth. We had his buddy on, Chris Burgard, a few weeks back. So you want to check out that interview as well. But you're going to want to watch The War on Truth. It's the sequel to Capital Punishment. And if you haven't seen Capital Punishment, you could always find it at hisglory.tv. But to watch The War on Truth, you can go to hisglory.tv, use promo code May at checkout, and that's how you'll find the film. But Nick is so cool. You will remember him from Justified. That's one of the main characters he played, was in Justified. But once you see him, you're going to remember he's been in so many film productions. And he's a great guy. So I had such a fun time talking to him. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Hit the donate button and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content. Join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. You can find me on X at DJ Amber May. But without any further ado, I'd love to welcome Nick to the program. Like I told you guys, I have the one and only Nick Searcy joining us today. I am so excited, Nick. I am fangirling. Thank you so much for coming on my program today.
My pleasure, Amber. Thank you for having me.
I hope my brain works today because I've been all morning, all day. I've been like, I'm so excited. Okay. So we have a mutual friend. That's how I got to know you. But I loved the show Justified. And in Justified, you played the Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal, right? Was that your title?
Yes, I was the Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal in Lexington, Kentucky. Yeah,
I love that show, man. And I loved your character because you had to hold in this Raylan Givens guy, right? Like, he was one of your best U.S. Marshals, but he did things kind of his way, kind of off the books. And you were kind of always trying to, like, come on, man, let's do things by the books, always reining him in. But the two of you together were awesome on screen. And when they didn't bring you back for the reboot of it, I was really upset because I liked you guys together. I didn't care about the other people as long as you two were together. And I'm hoping they bring you back in the next season as they reboot it. Is that even a possibility? Are you able to say anything?
I don't know anything about it. All I know is they haven't contacted me. I'd be very surprised if they brought me back. They've already sort of established towards the end of the show that Art was going to retire. And, I told them when they said they were going to make a new Justified and the only one that was going to be in it was Raylan. I said, you're going to make a lot of people furious, but.
Because it's not the same. I mean, it really isn't. The characters that we knew and loved are in it. So the only thing I would say that was good about it is the bad guy was really scary.
Yeah. Well, I didn't watch it because I barely watch any television anymore unless it's wrestling. So I didn't watch it. I don't blame you.
They didn't have you. I don't blame you. Like, I was disappointed in that. So how did you get involved with that show? I mean, we're going to talk about your new movie coming up, but I kind of want my audience to get to know you because everyone knows your face. And if they didn't know you from Justified, you've been in so many movies. But how did you get, like, how did that role come about?
Well, I had known Graham Yost, who was the showrunner, the head writer on the show, for years. I'd known him since From the Earth to the Moon. He was one of the supervising producers, and he directed an episode of From the Earth to the Moon, the HBO show about the astronauts. And so for 15 years, I'd been emailing and going, you know, I thought we were friends. I thought you liked me. You're doing all this great television stuff and never anything for me. And so finally, Graham said that when he read the script for Justified, he said, okay, I think I can get Nick off my back now. I think I've got the perfect part for him. So that's kind of how it came about. And I had known some of the people from before. I'd known Walt Goggins a little bit before, and Joel Carter and I had done a movie before. So in a lot of ways, it was like working with old friends.
That made it
a lot of fun. And the writers, I mean, they did a great job. They knew how to write for me. And they allowed Timothy and I to really sort of improvise a bit and take the stuff and really make it our own and make it sing a little bit. And we, you know, put some personality in it without changing the facts that needed to be stated. So I think that helped too, that they allowed us some freedom there.
So how did you get your start in Hollywood? I always am interested on how people go from like, someday I want to be an actor, to actually being an actor in Hollywood.
Well, it's funny because I wrote a whole book just about that. It's coming out at the end of May.
Oh, I got to get the book. Oh, man. If I buy the book, will you sign a copy for me? I mean, that would just be like.
Sure.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure you got $50 laying around somewhere. Sure. I'll sign it for you. but no, that in the book I talk about, you know, I decided I wanted to be an actor when I was a child, excuse me. When I was about 12, 13 years old, I had done a couple of plays at the local university when they needed a kid. And so that was when I decided that's what I wanted to be. So it was then a matter of just figuring it out. And so I moved to New York after college. I did a lot of plays. I did plays all through my college years and did the, you know, almost exclusively in the theater, made a few homemade films, but mostly on stage. And so lived in New York for 7 years, did a lot of plays there, never really did maybe a couple of little film things, but nothing much. And met my wife there. We got married. When we got pregnant, we moved out of New York, moved back down to North Carolina. And by that time, the movies had started shooting in North Carolina for tax reasons and for certain things. So I wound up getting little parts in a movie. Days of Thunder was really my first film. I had a part in that and then a little part in Prince of Tides. And all of that led to me reading for a tiny little part in Fried Green Tomatoes and the director sort of having the idea of having me read for the main bad guy. So
I love that movie. I just rewatched it actually recently. And so it's kind of cool that I'm talking to you because you were in the film. Oh my God. And then I rewatched Eagle Eye, not because I was talking, I had no idea I was going to talk to you, but I had rewatched some of the movies that you were in. I'm like, and now I'm talking to you. So I'm like, so sorry. So sorry to interrupt. Continue.
But that's really how it happened when Fried Green Tomatoes came out. You know, that movie had enough of a success that I could tell somebody in Hollywood who I was. And so I got this agent in Hollywood, just, you know, called somebody, cold called him and said, you know, go see me in this movie, see if you want to represent me. And she called me back a couple of days later and said, yeah, okay, I think I can do something with you. So my wife and I moved out to LA in 1992. And I've been making a living as an actor ever since then.
How has things progressed in California from the 90s to today?
Well, they've progressed to the point that I've left it. I got out of California beginning of this year. I mean, when I first moved there, it was an exciting, vibrant place. There were so many auditions, so many opportunities, so many things to go to. It was a big, rip-roaring, fun time, you know, and it was a great place to be. And there was a lot of creativity going on. And I mean, as it progressed over time, it's just gotten more and more bogged down. And, you know, the people there are unhappy. They're sort of, everybody's overtaxed. Everything's too expensive. Nothing makes any sense. You feel powerless. And so, you know, as a result, the business has basically left California. Everything's shooting in Atlanta, that's shooting in Oklahoma, Texas, you know, Canada, anywhere but L.A.
Wow.
In fact, I've been trying to put together some movies that I would direct. And, you know, people say, yeah, we'll put money behind this. But the first thing out of their mouths is, where are we going to shoot? Because we can't shoot in California. So, I mean, they ruined the state. So it's gotten bad.
I mean, I think that's a foretell of what communism would look like once, or if, hopefully it won't, take over America, because really, communism just takes prosperity and throws it away into the garbage, and only a very few people remain wealthy while everyone else is like rummaging and living very poor. So the disparity between the rich and poor ends up growing, and the middle class ends up disappearing. And so if we want to learn anything from California, then let's learn not to do communism, right?
Right. Well, I think it's maybe too late. I mean, I think that's really what's happening right now. We are in the beginning stages of them systematically bankrupting everyone.
Yes, you know, that's
making
true.
Them make it impossible to be middle class in this country. And so then it's not even the rich and the poor. It's the ruling class versus the servant class. And they're in the process of turning us all into servants to the government. You know, they call themselves public servants, and they're not. They want us to be the servants.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's so refreshing. One reason why I like you so much is because you think a lot like me. You're a conservative-minded person, and yet you're a Hollywood actor. I don't fangirl over anyone, you know, but you align like, you know, like me, and I respect that about you. So how is it that you can do what you do and make the films you make when so many people in Hollywood, it's almost like the actors in Hollywood have capitulated and given up their First Amendment right? And I just wonder, would Hollywood look different if people fought back against that so that they can say what they want despite what, you know, maybe studios want or whoever? I mean, they're really a controlled group of people, don't you think?
No, without a doubt. I mean, I don't know why I seem to be slipping through their radar somehow. I mean, I've got a Netflix series that I did last year that's coming out this year called The Perfect Couple with Nicole Kidman, and I'll have a little role in that.
Cool.
And the movie Reagan comes out August 30th, which is I have a role in that. But I think in my case, there's a couple of factors working in my favor. Number one is I'm primarily a character actor. So they're not afraid of giving me a platform because they're not going to interview me. They're going to interview the lead of the show. So they're not actively promoting my politics if they put me in the show. And the other factor is, I think in some ways they may not know who I am because the left doesn't pay attention to the right. I mean, that's really a hallmark of being a leftist. You have to have blinders on. I remember when I had been asked to guest host for Rush Limbaugh in 2017, which I did. And it was a great honor. I mean, he was a hero of mine and it was just a dream come true. One of my favorite days. But of course, when I did that, I was like thinking, well, this is really a coming out party, I guess. I guess, you know, the biggest radio show in America, they're going to know my politics after this. And I was talking to a friend of mine about it who's in Hollywood. And he said, if you don't tell anybody at your agency that you're going on the Rush Limbaugh show, they'll never know because none of these people ever listen to Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, good.
And so I think that's kind of true. I mean, you know, they may not even know that I'm conservative. They just may not be paying attention.
And my background's radio broadcast. I did AM radio. So if I were ever near Rush Limbaugh, I know he's passed, but if I had ever, I would have fangirled him too. Like that would have been so cool for me being AM broadcast radio, just like him. And yes, I would have totally fangirled. So tell me your experience. Like how did that happen? How did you get the gig to host for him?
Well, Rush was a Justified fan. And he would talk about the show on the air all the time. He would talk about it. And then one year, I think it was maybe the fourth season or something, he's talking about the show one morning and he says, you know, one of my favorite characters was back on the show today and it was good to see him. Nick Searcy plays Art Mullen. And my phone starts going crazy. It's like people are going, Rush Limbaugh said your name on television, on the radio this morning. And so I'm like on Twitter with it because I was friends with David Limbaugh at that time. And I was like, hey, would Rush want to have me on to talk about the show? I know he loves the show. And so 2 days later, I get a call from Bo Snerdly. He says, you want to come on the show tomorrow? I said, yes, sir. And so Rush interviewed me on the show about Justified. I was on for about 12 minutes. I kidded everybody. I was on longer than Dick Cheney. So after that happened, I would then be, every once in a while, I would call in. I would call into the show. I had Bo Snerdley's, information, and they would bring me on to talk about this or that. And so one day, just in passing, I joking with Bo, I said, why don't you guys should just let me guest host one day. And he said, let us talk about that. And then, it happened when Rush went on Christmas vacation for 2 weeks and they brought me in for one day. And it was a great experience. I had a lovely time, totally nerve wracking. I mean, it's like, I had 5 weeks to prepare and, for 3 hours, and it almost killed me. I mean, it was just like, I don't know how Rush did it 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for all those years.
If I would have had this similar experience and being in broadcast AM radio, I would have felt the same way. I'm like, those are big shoes to fill. Like, that is a huge honor. Wow. That is a really cool story.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Hey, friends. New variants means new vaccines and even more scare tactics. Dr. Peter McCullough gets asked all the time, how do I get this out of my body? Well, Spike Support Formula is the only product I've seen that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve COVID spike protein in the bloodstream. Whether you've got the shot, you're watching research pour in about vaccine shedding, or you've had a bad bout of COVID, spike support is a serious concern. And while we won't truly know the extent of the devastating effects for many years, there is something you can do right now to protect yourself. Hundreds of people, vaccinated or not, have reported better mental clarity and increased energy levels. Head to twc.health/AmberMay to buy the wellness company's spike support formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code AmberMay at checkout and you will save some money. So that's twc.health/AmberMay to save some money at checkout.
Hey, everybody, this is Cash Patel and you're watching The Amber May Show.
So all you know out there that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or the shopping channel the way they used to. They've been a part of the big cancel culture going on, and they want to pass the savings right on to you directly. They're having a huge $25 extravaganza sale. So when Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product, and that was it. Well, since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products some of you may not even know about. To get the word out there, they're having a $25 extravaganza. MyPillow sandals, $25. This is where it gets super good. I love the towel set. The 6-piece towel set, $25. You can't even get that price at Walmart for a 6-piece towel set. The towels are out of this world. Brand new 4-pack dish towels, and you guessed it, just $25. And for the very first time, the premium MyPillow with the all-new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, just $25. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-957-2123. That's 1-800-957-2123. And use promo code AMBER. And when you do, you'll get free shipping on your entire order today. MyPillow.com, use promo code AMBER.
You are listening to The Amber May Show. And now we return to the show already in progress.
It's better than an Academy Award, that's for sure.
Would you say that is the best, most memorable thing that's happened to you? Or has there been other things that have been so cool? Because your career takes you into places that you've I could never experience, right? Was that one of the coolest experiences you've ever had? Or was there something else that's happened that's equally as cool or cooler?
Well, there's nothing like that. I mean, that's a very singular experience, not exactly a show business experience,
Right.
It's more of just something that happened because of whatever success I've been able to achieve. I've been very fortunate. I've had a lot of great experiences. Making the movie Terror on the Prairie was great fun. Western with Gina Carano. And I got the chance to participate in a professional wrestling match.
You did?
I managed Matt Hardy in a wrestling match in Nashville, and that was fun. And I got to try my hand at stand-up comedy. I did about a year during COVID. I traveled around with my friend Rodney Carrington, who's a very successful stand-up comedian in the middle of the country. I had done a sitcom with Rodney, and he asked me if I just wanted to come out and try it. So I did stand-up comedy. I opened for Rodney for about a year.
Oh, that's so cool. And, wow.
You know, I've had a great time. I've been able to do a lot of interesting things.
Was your wife and kids able to come on set with you at all while you either filmed or shot, whether it's Justified or one of the films that you were in?
Well, in Justified, my real life wife played my wife on the show.
She did?
Yeah, in season 5 when I got shot, there's a couple of episodes where my wife Leslie Mullen came on, and that's my wife Leslie. She
oh, cool.
Because when they told me that they were going to bring my wife on, I told Graham, I said, well, you know, her picture is all over the set, because when they were doing set dressing for Art Mullen's office, I brought in a bunch of pictures of Leslie and said, you know, this aww. Is my wife and everything. And he said, well, we're going to bring your wife on the show. I said, you've already established her. Her picture's in Art's office. And Graham said to me, can she act? And I said, Graham, you know I wouldn't marry a woman who couldn't act. So, but Leslie and I met in a play in New York. She was an actress then. And over the years, she's done a few things. She's played my wife in movies a number of times.
Oh, how fun. Well, you know what? I don't know how this works in Hollywood, because I would be upset, you know, if my husband kisses another girl and now it's like full on sex scenes. Like, you don't even get like where they did in the 90s. They panned up and then they panned down and everyone's undercovers in bed. Like, I bet your wife is happy you weren't Raylan Givens, because he was always kissing on girls. And you know, if I was married to Timothy, I'd be so jealous. So I guess it worked out that your wife gets to play your wife on film, because maybe it helps the jealousy out a little.
Yeah, I'm a character actor. Character actors, generally speaking, don't get to kiss the girl. That's just, you're usually either the cop or the robber if you're not the lead guy kissing the girl. So that doesn't come up very much for me. and maybe that's a good thing. I made a joke one time. I've actually played a lot of abusive men over the years. I've played a lot of bad guys. I've played a lot of, after Frank Bennett and Fried mm-hmm. Green Tomatoes. And I used to joke, yeah, I played wife beaters and serial killers and thieves. I mean, I've played a lot of Democrats, you know, so.
that's a good one. But, that's a good one.
But I made a joke one time that was very inappropriate, and that somebody asked me, does your wife get jealous when she sees you kiss another woman? I go, no, but she kind of gets a little jealous when she sees me slap another woman. They didn't think it's just a joke, everybody. I'm trying to do stand up here.
So. So tell me about your experience, because I saw you in Capital Punishment. Again, like, I met Chris a couple years ago. He was at a Reawaken tour where I was at, and I got the opportunity to interview him about Capital Punishment, and I bought the film. Like, I wanted to see it myself after interviewing him. So I want you to tell me how it was for you. What did you experience in Washington when you were there? And then how did the films come about? Because we're going to show a trailer today on the second film, called War on Truth. It's a sequel to the first one, Capital Punishment. So what was your experience in Washington?
Well, I'd gone to Washington on January 6th, not to necessarily, I wasn't planning to make a film. I just sort of, I was going to visit my parents in North Carolina from California. And I thought, well, I'll stop by there. You know, I want to see what happens. I want to, you know, be part of the day. I want to register, have my voice be heard, blah, blah, blah. So I went, walked around, saw people praying and singing hymns and waving the flag and saying the Pledge of Allegiance and talking about the Constitution. Seemed like a very happy, upbeat crowd. And then when I got home that night, everything I saw on the television was stuff I'd never seen before. I didn't see any of the violence. I happened to be on, the side of the building where that didn't happen. And so I found it sort of mystifying. You know, why is that the only thing the media is talking about, is this violence? So as it unfolded and you saw the FBI starting to go after people that were there that day, it started to okay, we need to explore this because they are, you know, harassing 74-year-old grandmothers, and they are breaking down the doors of family men who've never been arrested before simply because they were there that day. Mm-hmm. So that's what sent us on the journey. Let's go find out what this is really all about. And what we found out, the reason the film is called Capital Punishment, is that we realized that the federal government is punishing protesters, mm-hmm. punishing people for dissent. And that is what they're doing. They're trying to send them, by treating these people so horribly, they're trying to send a message to everyone else. Mm-hmm. Don't protest anything we do, or this is what we'll do to you.
Wow. Yeah, they don't, they never showed, not one time on any of the news broadcasts, the singing, the praying, the waving of the flag. They never once showed any of that. And all you heard from the beginning, insurrection, insurrection. And I talked to Kash Patel and I asked him directly. I said, hey, you know, did President Trump offer security? And he said, yeah, multiple times. And Nancy Pelosi refused. And then I saw articles about the Capitol, the captain of the Capitol Police. And he said he went to them and said, hey, we need more manpower. And they refused. They refused because they already had the narrative written in their brain of how it was all going to play out. And they made sure they had the actors, mm-hmm. paid actors, right? I think I saw that in your film. And yes. I've heard that paid actors to go and start a ruckus mm-hmm. so that they can blame all the people that were Trump supporters and start arresting him. So they had a narrative about what Donald Trump did to get him from being able to run for office and to it's just like, it's incredible. They stole the election from him. They stole the election from us, really us, the people that voted for him. And wow. right now in Arizona, the attorney general, I will have my senator come on, or I may have already done that by now. I have my personal senator from Arizona who represents me at the state capitol. He just got indicted by the attorney general because he was one of those that are part of the electorate. He, in the electoral college, he was one of those that cast a vote. And because Arizona voted for Donald Trump, despite what Joe Biden is claiming, if you would have been here, Nick, in Arizona, you would have seen the Trump flags from north to south, east. So I've never seen so much support behind a political candidate in my life. In my life, I've never seen it. Every flag, every neighborhood that had the flags, the Trump train was miles and miles and miles long. And every time Donald Trump came to Arizona, he was flooded. I mean, his rallies were just flooded. I know because I was there. I've witnessed it, right? Mm-hmm. And then they say Arizona went to Joe Biden. Huh, interesting. So now we have the lawfare here, even past January 6th, where now we're 6 months away from a freaking election. Did our electors that sent to Washington, D.C., we sent two types? And this is also, there's documents of this and happening before in history with Hawaii sending two sets of votes to Washington, D.C. So we have precedent that this has happened and it's legal because there's precedent for it. And they want to now indict them. I mean, the guy is not even occupying the White House. We have a man named Joe Biden that occupies the White House, so to speak. Okay, mm-hmm. So nothing that they did changed the outcome of the election, yet they're trying to say Donald Trump tried to change the outcome of the election. It didn't work. So why are you lawfare? Like, this lawfare is driving me crazy because the American government is attacking the American people. And that's what you saw with Capital Punishment.
And that's what that's why we call the second movie The War on Truth. Their entire purpose, their entire apparatus is set up to suppress the truth and push the lie that January 6th was all about white supremacists who wanted to destroy democracy or whatever nonsense they're saying. But look at it this way. Yes, Donald Trump asked for the National Guard. The Capitol Police, you know, Stephen, what's his name? Stephen Hund. He asked for the National Guard to be there. Both Nancy Pelosi and Marion Bowser, the mayor there, said no. Mm-hmm. Why did they say no? Because they wanted the Capitol to be breached. That is simply a fact. That is why the police are seen on tape bringing people into the building. They wanted people inside the Capitol. That is why Ray Epps, who for whatever reason, I don't know exactly what his status was, but he was an operative sent there to drive people into the building, screaming at them the night before, we've got to go into the building. He's at the front of the barricades. He's one of the first ones that breaches the barricades and is whispering in the ear of people going, go after them, go into the building, go into the building. Why are they doing this? This is the point that nobody ever really realizes. The proceeding that was going on in the House and Senate at the time of January 6th was exactly what the protesters that were in Washington that day wanted to happen. Ted Cruz was standing up and challenging the vote. Mm-hmm. Other people getting ready to challenge the vote in certain states in order to send it back to these battleground states for 10 days to verify the vote. That's what we wanted to mm-hmm. happen. So there mm-hmm. would be no reason for the protesters in Washington that day to try to obstruct that mm-hmm. proceeding. The people that would benefit were the Nancy Pelosi's, who, what did they do? As soon as they cleared the Senate, they declared the state of emergency, they called it an insurrection, and then they said, what? We can't afford to go on with this proceeding. We have to go ahead and certify Joe Biden's election immediately to stop these crazy terrorists from destroying our country. So the entire idea, everybody's that has been charged on January 6th, the worst charge is a felony obstruction of an official proceeding. The only people that would want that proceeding obstructed were the Democrats who wanted to install a puppet like Joe Biden as president. Mm-hmm.
And so let's watch the trailer because I think it's a great film. I can't, I hope everyone watches this film. So we're going to see a trailer on.
Antifa!
Let me through, I got a knife.
We have not to date seen any evidence of anarchist violent extremists or people subscribing to Antifa in connection with the 6th.
It's not protest, it's insurrection.
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 Two small squads of military trained guys could have wiped out the entire House and Senate that day had there been a real insurrection.
I think that law enforcement has been weaponized.
This guy is not just undercover, okay? He is committing violence.
Everybody that was on the ground on J6, police officers and demonstrators alike, were all set up.
They have this mystery story that we're some kind of domestic terrorist group.
Why are you going to prison for 8 months?
For my documentation of January 6th.
They're being punished as criminals.
When the United States government comes at you with everything they have, it can be very intimidating.
They're trying to instill fear.
This is intimidation, just like the Gestapo.
This was not a no-knock warrant. I could have killed somebody because they didn't identify themselves.
The Capitol Police were coming after me. They conducted a criminal investigation on me because of my position on January 6th.
I was paid to pretend to protest.
For 3 years, the federal government has waged a war on truth.
On May 17th, the truth fights back.
Oh, that's going to be good. I mean, this film is going to be so good. The first one I really liked. And if anyone wants to watch the film, I highly encourage you to do so. Go to hisglory.tv. And when you're there, use promo code May, M-A-Y, at checkout. So hisglory.tv, use promo code May. The links are in the description below, or they're on my website at theambermayshow.com. Hit the promo section, and you can watch the show there as well. So the links are there for all of you guys. So how did the second film come about? Because we did the capital punishment and you guys explored all the lies of January 6th. And by the way, parts of it I thought were funny. I thought you were very humorous in some of the parts of the film. And my husband and I really enjoyed watching it, and we're both fans of Justified. So, yeah.
Well, the second one, you know, we made some jokes in the second one too, but I cut them all because it's not funny anymore. I mean, the first one, we kind of got away from some humor because we were really sort of exploring and trying to figure out what actually was going on.
Yep.
But the second movie came about, the people who helped to help finance the first movie came to me and said, we want to make a second one. And I was very resistant to it. I didn't really want to do it. I thought, I don't know what we're helping. You know, they completely censored the first movie. It was very hard to find. And so it was hard to get the word out. And I thought, you know, I've got other things to do and I just don't really want to do this. And I don't think it does any good anyway, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, what happened was I was in Tennessee getting ready to order a roast for Christmas. And I just Googled what's the best butcher shop near me. And I go into this butcher shop, order a standing rib roast for Christmas. Nice young lady helps me and takes my information down. That night I get home and I get a text from this lady who helped me at the butcher shop. And she said, Mr. Searcy, can you call me? And I thought, well, there must be some problem with the meat or something. So I called her back and she said, you know, when you came in, I thought your name sounded familiar, but I didn't know exactly who you were. And then somebody told me that you were the man who made Capital Punishment, which mm-hmm. was the first movie that was about January 6th. And I said, yeah, that's true. She said, my husband told me that. And I said, well, can I talk to your husband? And she said, no, he's in the gulag. He's been held without bail for over 2 years. And he's being charged with the, you know, assault of a police officer and all this stuff. And it was at that moment I was like, okay, I think this is a sign. I'm pretty sure this is a sign, God, that you want me to make this movie. So that was the first interview we conducted. And her story, Sarah Maccabee is her name. Her husband, Colton Maccabee, tried to keep the police from beating Roseanne Boylan to death as she lay unconscious on the ground that day. He was charged with assaulting a police officer when, in fact, he was helping a police officer up that had fallen and was being trampled by the crowd. And you can actually hear on the audio that the police officer saying thank you to Colton Maccabee. And yet when they played his tape at the trial, they wouldn't play the audio.
Of course they wouldn't.
You know, and so this is the kind of thing they're doing to these people. And so that's why I wanted to make the second one. I wanted to make the basic thrust of the second one is to humanize these people that the media and Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and all the ruling class in Washington have utterly demonized and mischaracterized and called white supremacists and terrorists and all this horrible stuff simply for political reasons. They're ruining these people's lives for their own benefit. And so I felt like we've got to show this. We've got to humanize these people. We've got to show America who these people really are that our government is going after as if they're hardened criminals.
I feel as if Donald Trump doesn't make it to presidency, I don't think these people are going to ever see the light of day till who knows when. Their rights of a swift and speedy trial is gone. A lot of them are there for misdemeanors and they're still locked up. We have veterans, men and women that have decided to put their lives on the line to protect freedom. And this is how their country treats them by throwing them in prison. Some of the reports are horrible. Like if they didn't get the COVID shot, they couldn't get haircuts. They couldn't get their beard shaved. I mean, they were deprived of just being human beings in these prisons. And remember when members of Congress tried to go to visit these prisoners and they were denied access? Members of Congress denied access.
Well, what's hard to believe and what we have to wrap our heads around is that the enemies of this administration are people who love the country, people who revere the Constitution, people who go to church, people who want freedom, want individual liberty, want equal protection for all. Those are the enemies of this government. Mm-hmm. Because what they want is total control so that they control the truth. Mm-hmm. They control justice. Justice is only what serves the state. And so that is what they're trying to do. That's why it's happening to these people. And the more we can get people to try to look at this, the better. But, you know, the problem with the left always is that they are afraid to look at anything that might contradict what they believe, because then their whole worldview crumbles. Then they can't. Then nothing that they believe makes any sense. If they ever see that they're being lied to. And, you know, that's the amazing thing. They've been lied to over and over and over again over the years. And still, all of a sudden, here we are, 2024, and the whole left side says, if you don't believe what the government's telling you, you're a racist and you need to go to jail.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And along the lines of what you just said, you know, we constantly hear about Donald Trump as a threat to our democracy. First of all, we don't want to live in a democracy. We live in a republic because the 51% will always rule the 49%. And they will, the 49% will never get representation. The 51% will always dictate what's going to happen. So when they say the greater good, we don't want the greater good because, again, the greater good is the 51%, and it might not even be good at all for the 49%. That's why we like a republic. A republic has equal representation. The small states get two senators. So every state gets two senators. They're not outnumbered by the big states like California and New York and so on and so forth. They have equal representation in D.C. That's why we want a republic. So it protects the small minority or the small group of people from being overpowered and overrun by the 51%. So they say Donald Trump's a threat to their democracy. To your point, he's not a threat to a republic. He is a threat to their power. That's what they're scared of. They are scared of losing their power as the ruling class in the United States. That's why they constantly go after him, and they haven't stopped. Since the moment that man went down the escalator, they have not stopped. The fact that President Trump got to get anything accomplished in 4 years was an absolute miracle, because if you listen to any of the insiders that surrounded Donald Trump, he had people backstabbing him within the White House. Even his own White House attorney was trying to backstab him. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he did not even understand. And I don't think neither one of us or any of us Americans really understood how swampy the swamp really was until Donald Trump came into office. And they never stopped. And I have compassion for him and his wife, especially because they're floating around this woman who's a porn star, right? And she's been shown to lie, like even on the more, what was that guy's name? She was just on a show and he went back and he showed the clip of when he interviewed this woman, and she lied about everything. Like what she's saying now in court contradicts what she said on a show years ago.
I mean, the Democrats have had 4 years to put Trump on trial, and it is all just going away. They blew it at every turn. Here's what's happened this week. Georgia, that one, okay. They're going to take up Trump's argument about Fannie Willis. Now, she's the prosecutor. She's having an affair with the guy she hired. I mean, it's not really relevant to the case, but they left an opening. And now that one's going to be delayed. The stolen documents one, that's never going to happen because that's a Trumpy judge down there. So it's stormy or bust.
I saw what you did there.
It just comes out. I'm not trying. If this one doesn't work, and she's a bad witness, because let me show you a little video. This is when I had Stormy on in 2018. And first I asked her why she had sex with Trump. Listen to that. And then listen to what she says after that. And then we're going to talk about the trial, because it's quite at variance of what she said to me in 2018. Why did you fuck Donald Trump?
I have no idea.
Okay, but you say it's not a Me Too case.
It is not a Me Too case. I mean, I wasn't assaulted. I wasn't attacked or raped or coerced or blackmailed. They tried to shove me in the Me Too box to further their own agenda. And first of all, I didn't want any part of that because it's not the truth, and I'm not a victim in that regard.
That's not what she's saying now. She's talking about he was bigger and blocking the way. It's all the Me Too buzzwords. She said there was a power imbalance of power, for sure. My hands were shaking so hard. She said she blacked out. Mm. Blacked out? She's a porn star. She's... I don't think
that doesn't mean she's been subjected to the likes of Donald Trump. Well, I might black out too.
Do you really think she blacked out? I mean, a porn star is used to having sex with people she does not know. That's the job. It's kind of like Stormy Bob Stormy. Fuck.
And so here we go. We have this woman that constantly lies about Donald Trump. And I think about his wife. That has to be hard to think about the possibility of, you know, getting cheated on. And I'm going to guess that maybe he didn't cheat on her. She just wants a payout. So it's easy to accuse someone who's high up and has a lot of money, because what it really boils down to, what she comes out with a lot, is she just wants to get paid. But imagine what it's doing to their marriage and how hard that must be for her. And I think about the January Sixers and the people that are in prison right now and how hard that would be on their marriage, because they're separated and families are separated. Fathers from their kids, mothers from their kids, parents from their children. And this is like, so bringing it, I like what you're doing with your film, bringing it back to humanity, because it's hurting families at the end of the day.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
For those of you that are preppers out there, I've partnered with Prepper All Natural. Prepper offers amazing high quality cooked and freeze dried beef along with long term storage. Eat well today and tomorrow. And you can check out their food at freedomfirstbeef.com. That's freedomfirstbeef.com. And when you're there, use promo code Amber at checkout to save some money. So freedomfirstbeef.com, promo code Amber at checkout.
All right, America, Patriots, we are currently on the Amber May show. So stay tuned. Amber May.
The First Amendment is under attack, but did you know you can help protect your constitutional rights by using your cell phone? Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless provider that will always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks, which means you can get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're supporting organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Fund, Concerned Women for America, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/amber or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use promo code Amber at checkout. Join us. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Amber. That's PatriotMobile.com/Amber or 972-PATRIOT.
You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Well, it's intentionally hurting families. I mean, the reason they're doing this to Donald Trump is not just to get Donald Trump. Of course, it is to get Donald Trump, but it's to get to send the message to anyone like him. If you are not part of the political class, if you're not approved by us, don't be running for president from the outside, because we will destroy you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why they're doing what they're doing to Donald Trump. That's why they're doing what they're doing to the January 6th people. Mm-hmm. These, at the core, the left are Marxist communists. And one of the biggest tenets of that ideology is destroy the family unit. Make sure that there is no allegiance to any power, anything other than the almighty state. So mm-hmm. if you have a person who has an allegiance to God or to family, you know, before the administration, that has to be destroyed. There's one family profiled in our movie, a man who went to prison for 7 years, sentenced to prison. His name was Guy Reffitt. And the way the FBI got him was that they infiltrated his home and got his 18-year-old son to record him and then testify against him in court. And they were cultivating his son online like some sort of confidential informant asset. They turned that family inside out for political reasons, because they have no respect for anything, and their entire purpose is to destroy the family and make sure that the only thing, the only power that matters is the almighty power of the state, and everybody must be terrified of it.
You remind me of what I brought up a few weeks ago on my show. I had a woman come on and she talked about community schools, and I've brought that up before, community schools. And if anyone wants to see the proof of that, you can go to theambermayshow.com, hit the resource tab, and go to... is it schools? I think it's community schools. So the resource tab, and you'll find it there at theambermayshow.com. They are trying to train kids to spy on their parents at home with homework assignments.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how you're going to break up families, because then the student takes that to the teacher and they have just the wrong teacher or the wrong social worker, then they'll call CPS on the family, even though there was nothing nefarious or bad that was done, just because this assignment made it look like something bad was being done in the home. They will easily take your kid away because they believe the children belong to them, that they are not your children, that they belong to the state. We saw this during World War II with the Hitler's youth. Right. The communist Marxist agenda believes children don't belong to the parents, but belong to the state. And that's a very scary thing for any of us as parents raising children right now. That's why this is so important that we fight now while we still can before we completely lose our country. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back to your book a little bit because I just found out about your book, Justify This. Is that what it's called? Justify This?
Yeah.
Okay. Justify
This, A Career Without Compromise is the full title.
I love that. God bless you, man. I'm so happy that you've been able to do what you love and you're good at it without having to compromise who you are as a person.
I've been very fortunate, I must say. I mean, I've been so protected, I believe protected by God or led by God all the way through this by finding Leslie, who was the perfect companion for me, somebody who understood the struggle and was really, you know, I remember when Leslie got pregnant, we were both working, you know, as she was a word processor, I was a legal proofreader. That was our sort of day job while we were pursuing our acting career. And I remember when she got pregnant, her boss at the time asked her, well, is your husband going to just finally just settle down and get a job now? And Leslie was like, no, he's not going to get a job. He's an actor. So she was always down with the struggle. And I've been so fortunate looking back. I feel like I've been put here for a purpose. I think we all have. Mm-hmm. I think the way that my career has borne itself out was that I was able to do these movies, the Capital Punishment and the War on Truth, possibly the most important things that I've ever done or that I'll ever do. And I was put in a position where I was able to do that with whatever little fame I've had and you know, whatever success I've had gave me the courage and the platform so that I could do this. And I think that's all a gift from God. And I try to remember to be grateful for that every single day.
So how do people find your book or get a hold of your book?
It's on Amazon right now. You can pre-order it. Just do a search for Nick Searcy, Justify This. I think it'll be on the Barnes & Noble website sooner or later. But for right now, you can order it. You can order it now. And then on May 28th, they'll just ship it to you.
That's cool. That is so cool. Wow. What are some final words that you'd like to share with my audience before I have to let you go?
Well, I just encourage them to watch The War on Truth. Like I said, mentioned before, the toughest thing in the world is trying to get somebody on the left who disagrees with you, who hates Donald Trump, who mm-hmm. thinks that he's the worst person in the world, mm-hmm. to get them to just go, look at this, look at what is being done to these people. And I don't care what you think about Trump. I don't care what you think about, you know, I don't care if you're left or right. Do you actually believe what is happening to these people is justice? Just mm-hmm. look at it. And that's my challenge to everybody. I don't claim to be right about everything. I don't know everything. I can't prove the conspiracy because criminals are good at covering up their tracks most of the time. But what I can say is what is happening to these people is wrong. And I think everyone would agree with me about that if they'll just take the time to face it and watch the film.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, thank you so much, Nick, for spending some time with me. You sure made this girl day and week, probably month. So I want to thank you so much for coming on my show. And I hope you'd come back again in the near future.
Sure, I'd like to. And I, you know, I can't imagine how excited your audience must be that I'm on your show.
I'm sure they are because I've just texted a whole bunch of people. You gotta check this out. And so my friends are excited. So I'm sure my audience is too.
That's great. I spread joy wherever I go.
There you go. I love it. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.